Robert, I'm so glad you're alive to talk to us this morning about your harrowing experience on Lake Wanapate on Friday. Can you tell us what happened?
Well, we spent a beautiful few hours at the Sandbanks Beach. My son loves going there. There was a paddle boat that the ministry had tagged to be removed as salvage. And my neighbor that was at the beach suggested I bring it back to the camp for my little guy. When we left, things didn't look too bad. The skies weren't too dark. Had a clear path, and maybe 10 minutes into the journey, things changed really quick. And, the rest is history. It was the perfect storm, I guess. No pun intended.
You're no stranger to this lake, and you're no stranger to how quickly things can change on there. I was reading that you even had, like, a Doppler system on your boat, so you even looked ahead that far. And just tell us, what happened when things changed?
Well, I looked at the Doppler from Environment Canada on my cell phone, and looked like everything was going to pass the south end of the lake. And I looked at the future Doppler, and yeah, things were blown over the other end of the lake, and it was going to clear up again. And once we started our journey, all of a sudden the clouds turned dark, as one of the pictures supplied by Dan. You can see my boat just going into the storm. Had no idea what was laid ahead. Waves were, I'd say, 10 feet, just rolling over the front of my boat, bringing water in and bilge pumps running. And when I was losing that battle there, it was time to, you know, make sure everybody had their life jackets on. And we lost power to the engine. The first big wave rolled the boat over. Managed to get my son out. Between, I've got a canopy top and the bars on the side, so I pushed him out. So I knew he was safe out of the boat with his life jacket on, and then I got kind of trapped underneath, swam out, and collected everybody on the surface. And my non-swimming friend was maybe 2 meters away from the boat, hanging onto a cooler with his life jacket on, and we held hands and pulled him to the boat. He got on the front of the boat, and he never moved there for, well, probably the hour ordeal. We were on the bottom of the boat.
So you were out there in Lake Wanapate, life jackets on, in a storm for over an hour.
Yes. Well, I don't seem like longer than that. I don't know how long the storm actually lasted, but, it was pretty scary. And, you know, my son and my friend were screaming they didn't want to die. And I told them it was going to be okay, that, you know, this is going to blow over fast like the Doppler showed us, and we'll get rescued.
Meanwhile, what was happening with Joanne and Dan Goulet?
Speaking with Dan afterwards, they left the beach and they went up the North River a little ways, and he put his big 28-foot boat, he said 3/4 throttle, put the nose up on the beach, and he said the wind was rolling his boat right over onto its side. They were terrified for themselves, but I guess also terrified for us, knowing, you know, Dad knew that we weren't going to make it, and he called it right on.
Yeah, and he actually called 911 before your boat actually went under.
Well, yeah, long before. When I think after he took that picture and realized how bad things were getting, he called right away. Fire rescue services from Second Avenue were actually on the scene just after we collected my items that were floating cooler and a seat out of my boat, and just the odd little thing we could collect. And then we collected the boat and the stupid paddle boat I was salvaging. We hooked that on too, went through that ordeal. Might as well bring it home, right?
Right, I guess so. The salvageable paddle boat. But wow, and amazing that Joanne and Dan had the sense of mind to call for you when they knew you were going to be in trouble. Like, that's people looking out for people, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing I can say about it. It was just a few days earlier, we were at the beach and they were there. And, you know, my little guy was playing with Dan. They climbed up to the top of the sandbanks, and they're just good people, and they did the right thing.
After a harrowing tale like this, Robert, does life give new meaning? Like, does the wine taste a little bit sweeter, the beer taste better, the ground feel a little bit different under your feet?
Yeah, it's a new appreciation for how lucky we were, and maybe a little new respect for how bad things can get on that lake and so quick. I wasn't far from shore. I wasn't in deep water. I had GPS navigation on my fish finder, so I knew where I was on the lake. I have Navionics maps on my fish finder, so it shows me everything on the lake. And even at that, it was difficult navigating. I couldn't go very fast because of the boat I'm pulling behind, and I couldn't stop to cut the ropes or anything because the waves were so incredibly huge that it would have rolled the boat over.
This isn't your first experience, bad experience with water, is it, Robert?
No, years ago, we capsized a canoe on the Vermilion River in May, and the water was quite cold, and it was a life-changing experience where I used to swim all the time, and ever since that incident, unless there's a reason to go water skiing or something, I don't go in, I just don't go swimming.
Wanapate was warmer though, right? You're lucky the water was warm because you spent a long time in there.
Yeah, the water was nice. When we left my camp in the creek, my fish finder has a temperature of the water, which is about a foot under the surface, was 28 degrees Celsius.
Nice.
So the lake wasn't too much cooler, and we were fortunate that way. However, like the rain and the winds coming down and waves that were, 5-6 feet crashing on the bottom of the boat, almost washing us off constantly, it was a terrifying experience.
So you said that you, after the canoe incident, stopped swimming. Does this make you want to stop boating?
No, not at all. Not that I can't swim. I just don't have the same love for swimming that I used to when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I used to, go swim in the middle of the lake, and now I just, I guess I have a bigger respect for the water.
What about your 5-year-old son? What does he think about this whole ordeal? How's he recovering?
He's doing much better. The first night was rough. He was very sore. His feet were sore through the night. He was sore on the boat, and I told him, you can move your position. No, Dad, I don't want to move. I'm safe the way I'm sitting. I'm not moving. And he didn't move a muscle. Like, I couldn't get him to reposition himself, because he was on the highest point of the bottom of the boat. It's a deep V. It's a fair-sized boat for the lake. Mother Nature totally overpowered us.
Is there anyone you'd like to thank? I know...
Lots of people out there, Dan and Joanne, for calling 911. Greater Sudbury Police for calling Rob Golan, the owner of the camp, and telling him somebody was in distress. So he got a whole bunch of people together, and they're searching from shore during the storm with binoculars. And as soon as it let up, bang, everybody was on the water searching for us. When we got back, everybody came down and helped to roll my boat back upright, and we got it on my boat trailer and, pulled it out. The bilge pump was still running, pumping water, and it was just a crazy day, a crazy, hour and a half or however long that lasted. It was just incredibly crazy. I noticed, I have a broken off tree underneath my dock. The water is about 5 inches higher. All kinds of trees broke. And when we're kind of back at the camp in the gazebo and it started to rain a little bit later on early in the evening, and then thunder crashed, we seen the lightning and the thunder was right away. It was really close. We all ran in the camp. And to me, it was just Mother Nature saying, "See, I'm in control." Yeah, it was just a crazy day.
When she wants to flex her muscles, she's pretty strong, huh?
Yeah, and that, I wasn't far from shore. I was only in 15 feet of water depth-wise, and I had waves rolling at 6 or 8 feet coming over the front of my boat and filling us full of water. I needed an 18-horsepower gas water pump to keep up with it, and that's just not practical. So
you have Mel in tears over here.
Yeah. I know. Wow. It's emotional. Like we talked yesterday, it's emotional when you, there's a sort of a recovery period for you, right? And when you recount the story, and I'm sure you've told it, many, many times since Friday, but I can't tell you as you have called into the show before. We know you are a listener. We know you have a 5-year-old son. You lost your wife to cancer 2 years ago. And it's just so many things have gone on in your life. And we are just so glad, so grateful that you are here this morning to share your experience and maybe a couple of lessons for people. So thank you so much, Robert, for speaking from the heart.
Well, you're welcome. I mean, all I could say is, you know, wear your life jacket and be safe on the water. And if the weather isn't good, stay off that lake.
You definitely have someone looking after you. So, you know, thank that guardian angel.
Well, definitely, definitely. I can't thank enough people, like even, you know, like the firefighters that arrived and we, you know, it was nice. And I mean, I know I spoke with one of my neighbors yesterday that came out and he got to my boat and we were on the big boat collecting my stuff, which wasn't very close to where we were. And he said he came to the boat with nobody there and he just thought the worst. So it affected a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, just for, you know, the police continually contacting the owner of the campground, update new information, and there was a little bit of confusion of where we were, and we ended up by Germans Island, and I was, you know, halfway between there and the creek when we capsized, and we, you know, just, it happened so fast, the storm came in so fast and so furious, I've never experienced anything like that in my life.
Robert, thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
I started driving a boat at my son's age on the west arm of Nipissing at 5 years old. My dad's rule was if you could start it when the motor's cold, you could take it out. So I woke up before the family, went down, managed to get the littlest boat with a 1.5 started and went 2 miles up the lake by myself to the store. To get candy. And then, yeah, they called my parents and my dad came up with the big boat and I can't say I was in a lot of trouble, but I mean, they weren't impressed, but that's the little boy in it.
Okay, Robert, we've got to let you go. I've got a break coming up.
It was, when I was working on my boat the following day and stuff all day and got it running and stuff at my camp, and I said, okay, it's time to eat, and I was looking at a can of beans when my neighbor Jason next door came over with pickerel and chips and coleslaw, a big plate of it for me, and it's like, oh my God, the love I felt in the last couple of days from my neighbors is just incredible.
It truly is a community, right?
Yeah.
All the great people at Post Creek Campground beside Rockies, Lake Wanapate, are the greatest in the world. That's all I can say.